Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf HaYomi. It's Zvachem Daf Memches. We begin right on top, Parvasoir. Shal Yom Kippurim B'chulu, back to the Mishnah, where we learned that the Kaddish HaKaddishim, such as Oilo, Chatos, Asham, only to be processed on the north side of the Azara. So the Shechita is B'tzafoin, the Kabbalah collection of the blood is in Tzafoin. Now interestingly, although the Mishnah begins with this general statement that Kaddish HaKaddishim are done in Tzafoin, but in terms of when it goes into the itemized list, which one is cited first? So, although, as we're going to see in a second, where does the Torah actually mention Tzafoin? Which carbon does the Torah specify as requiring its shechita to be performed in Tzafoin of the Azara? So actually it's the Oila. Then the Psukim compare Chatas to Oila, same place. As the Oila is done, likewise the Chatas. So wouldn't you think, when the Mishnah presents a list of Tzafoin-oriented karbanis, which one would be listed first? You would think it's the prototype, the first point of reference, which is an Oila. Says the Gemara Michti, let's analyze the Psukim. Tzafoin. This Tzafoin location, where is it said? Ba'oila ksib, it's said by the Oila. Why isn't Oila presented first in the Mishnah? Rather than going to Parvasor Shiyam Kippurim, which is a variation of Chatos. First go to the prime example, which is the Oila, and then to the rest. Nisni Oila Bereshit, the answer is Chatos, which is learned from a Drasha. It's more dear to the Tana because it came with effort. I did the Asim Drasha. Since it's learned from a drasha, chavivale, it's more dear to the Tana, and that's why it's cited as number one. Now, where do we have the drasha? That's by the external karbanos chatas. We have two categories of chatas, right? There's the external chatas, which is processed outside in the Azara. It's by Achachitz. We have the internal one, the Parvasor Shalem Kippurim, whose blood is placed inside in the Kadesh HaKadoshim and the Hechel. So, wouldn't you say that the Chatas HaChitzayna should be presented first in the Mishnah, because actually that's what it says. That's what the Torah makes that correlation, the same place as the Oilas process, likewise the Chatas. So why does the Mishnah choose to discuss first the internal Karbanes Chatas, and only then the external ones? Benisne, it should say Chatois HaChitzayneis Bereisha. Shouldn't they go first? The answer is, once again, I did the Nichnas Dom and Lefenim, since the internal ones, blood, are taken all the way inside to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a carbon of higher standards, of a higher level. Chavivale, once again, that's also dear, more dear to the Tana. That's why he presents it first before the other ones. Okay, now let's go back to basics. So where, in fact, with Tzfoina, Bo'ila HaKsiva, who do we find the Torah mentioning Tzfoin by the Oila, which is the source material for the other ones? The pasuk says, V'shachat Oysoi al Yerach HaMizbeach Tzfoina. Shechita of the Oila is on the side of the Mizbeach. Which side? Tzfoin side. Ashchar Mentzoin. Now there are two types of Oila. There's the lighter animal Oila, the sheep, the goat. And we have the Bakar, the cattle, the heavy animals. Where, in the context of which one, do you find this Tzafoin requirement, Ashkhan ben Tzoyn? That's related to the lighter animals. So how do you know that Ibn Bakar, Manol, how do you know that also requires Tzafoin, Amakro? The answer is like this. Because earlier the Torah mentioned Ibn Bakar. And then afterwards it says, V'im minat Tzoyn, and if he chooses to bring one from Tzoyn, Vav, the V'im is that connector. It connects the two chapters, and it makes sort of a backwards connection. Omar Kroh, the pasuk says, V'im ha'natzoin, the Vav of the Im, Vav is Mois Valin Rishon. It connects the second discussion to the former discussion. So it connects Tzoin, which is related later, to the earlier discussion, which is Bakar, earlier, before the Tzoin. So typically, a vav allows the number two to connect to number one. Whatever applies to the earlier one, v connects to the next one as well. But here we're going backwards. V'ilmad elyon mitacht, have the upper former discussion, the one upstairs, ben bakar, learn from the later discussion, from tzayin. Just like tzofen applies to tzayin, applies to bakar as well. V'ilmad elyon mitacht. Well, says the Gemara, that's not so simple. Hanicha, that works, l'madamar, according to the opinion that says l'maidim, you can learn that way, you can learn backwards. According to the Shita, you can't learn that way. Only forward, not in the reverse. Michael Amemas, now we're stuck. Safine by them in Bakar, how do we know? This Sunday, where do we find such a, seemingly such a discussion? Whether the connecting Vav can go both ways. This Sunday, we have a discussion regarding one who committed Me'ila. He diverted Hegdish property for personal use. So typically, he would be liable to the process of Mi'ila, he has to bring a karba, etc. What if he's not sure? Not sure. He took something, was it Hegdish, was it not? Now, an uncertainty, a suffix with respect to a regular Avera, Avera which has potential for severe consequence, a Kares Avera, he's not sure whether you ate Chalev. If he knows for sure, v'shoigeg, he brings a karba chatos. Echatas is sort of the flip side of kares, if done intentionally. So intentional is kares, shogeg is chatas. He's not sure. This is a safek. He ate something. Was it chaleb? Was it not? There is a special carbon called asham tali, which Rashi says it's called tali because it suspends the retribution lahogin mina yisurim, to protect him from yisurim until he discovers the real fact that in fact he, you know, in fact that he did sin, and he brings a regular carbon. So that's the process applied to an uncertain karban chata situation. What about an uncertain me'ila situation? There's no explicit discussion in the Torah about it. We have a discussion about asham tali. Presumably it applies to a chet, right? Vim nefesh, ki sechta, right? Chet is the karis chata situation. What about a me'ila situation? Now, if he knows he was ma'il, he brings an asham, a regular asham. He's not sure. Does he bring an Asham Tali? Rabbi Kivya says yes. Chachamim say no. What's the machlek is based on? So we assume it's based on this this question, whether a Vav can generate a double connection. Because in the previous Psukim, the Pasuk speaks about a regular standard Asham. Asham Me'ila is for one who misused Hegdish material. And then we have a discussion regarding Asham Tali. The Sadia, as we learn in the Brisa, v'im nefesh. V, that vav, that's a connection to teach us l'chayiv al safek me'ilas asham tali. That if one encounters a safek me'ila, he also brings an asham tali. So the v'im nefesh, which discusses asham tali, connects to the previous presentation, which speaks about the act of me'ila, to tell you that if it's vadai, it's asham me'ilas. If it's a safek me'ila, Asham Tali applies as well. Divrei, whose sheet is that, Rabbi Akiva? Chamim Paitrim? No, there's no Asham Tali for Safek Mila. My lav, let's assume, well, I guess revolves around whether to apply the Vav in this context. Balkam Iflagi, Mar Savar. Rabbi Akiva says, Lamedim, we can learn upstairs from downstairs. So the prior experience, the Mila experience, if it should be encountered in a Safek situation, you connect to the carbon downstairs, Asham Tali. Umar Sabar Aim Lumaidim. Chachamim disagree. You can't connect the previous Me'ila discussion to the next discussion of Asham Tali. It doesn't apply to Me'ila. Amar Papa, no, the Kuliyama Lumaidim perhaps all agree that generally you can learn through a Vav. Vainatam the Rabban, you know why the Rabban in this case do not apply Asham Tali to Me'ila? Because we have a Gzera Shava that undoes that theory. Nemar kan mitzvois. We have the word mitzvois over here by the Asham Tali. Nemar b'chatos chelev mitzvois. And elsewhere, where the Torah discusses one who sinned by eating chelev, which is the classic sin related to a korban chatos. It's a common thing. It says over there mitzvois. So we connect to teach that Asham Tali only applies, is strictly to a case where he was involved in a chatas kares situation, not in a me'ila situation. Mal Holland just look over there by the chatas. We're speaking about dover shachayov and alzdoin a kares ve'al shigigas a chatas. It's an encounter which would theoretically generate kares if done intentionally, and therefore unintentionally is a chatas. Afkan here as well, the Oshem Tali applies strictly to an uncertain encounter with a severe sin such as that, but not me'ila. Shechayev and alzayin occurs, mashgos echatas, but not to a me'ila situation, which has a different set of rules, as an asham, it's a different system. There's no occurs, of course. So, typically, a vav connects, but here we have a gzera shava that overrides Rebbe Akiva. Sure, he has a gzera shava as well, but he learns something else from a gzera shava, in which case, it won't interfere with the vav connector to apply asham tali to me'ila. What does he learn from the gzera shava? Just like over there by the Chatas, it discusses a fixed entity, fixed carbon, a Chatas, animal carbon, Afkan Bikfu. Likewise over here by the Asham Tali, it only applies to an uncertain case which involves a sin which would theoretically generate a fixed carbon if confirmed as having been committed, as opposed to lafuke chatas the tumas midrash gedoshav. Suppose he's uncertain whether he entered the Beis Hamikdash when he was tamei, tumas midrash, who ate karbanos when he was tamei. That generates a different system of karbanos. It's an oil of yeridu, is up and down, fluctuating, flexible, financial ability based type of carbon, animal, birds, mincha, right? The oil of yeridu. So that type of experience, even if it encountered b'safek, would not generate an asham tali. But in terms of me'ila, yeah, asham tali applies to me'ila as well. V'rabbanan, they respond, engzer shav lemechza. You agree that you're going to connect the asham tali to the chatos by way of engzer shav. You can't limit engzer shav. Only learn some things and not others. Once we have engzer shav, it's an open highway. So you're compelled to fully connect the Asham Tali to the Chata situation, telling us that Asham Tali is limited strictly to a Chata's Kari's scenario, not to Me'ila, which has a different system. Rebbe Akiva not being zero shavu lemechza. No, so Rebbe Akiva do with that argument. If he agrees to connect the Asham Tali to the Chata's, you have to connect it all the way. And Echanami, you're right. The machlokes here is due to the fact that in addition to the gzera shava, which pulls us in one direction, that an asham tali applies only to a chatas kares situation, we have on the other hand a hekesh by way of that vav which connects, very direct connection between asham tali and the previous psukim speaks about me'ila. Rabbi Kiva sabr v'im nefesh ksiv vav moisev alin and rishayin. You're connecting the Asham Tali to the previous Mi'ila situation. Rabbanan nami ksiv v'im nefesh. Okay, Rabbanan as well. Doesn't it say v'im nefesh to connect? Leim v'makim v'vli perhaps machalikis is as follows. Which one is superior? When you have a conflict between gzera shava and Hekesh, which one rules the day? The Mara Savar Hekesh Adif, Rebbe Akiva says Hekesh is stronger. Umar Savar, Gzera Shava, the Chacham say Gzera Shava is stronger. Is that the Machlek? No, you don't have to say that. Kul Yama Hekesh Adif, perhaps all agree Hekesh is stronger. V'amri Lech Rabbanon. And therefore the Rabbanon tell you, yeah, we connect, but not with respect to that Asham Tali applies to Mila. No. Tachtinu de gomer me'elgin. It's the opposite. Downstairs will learn from upstairs. The Asham Tali will learn something from the Mila discussion discussed previously to tell you how much is the Asham meant to cost. Is a minimum requirement. You can't just bring like a cheap chatas. A chatas has no minimum value requirement. You can bring a chatas that's worth a dime. But an Asham has to cost you money. La'asham bekesef shkolim. To tell you, They're just like a Asha Mi'ila. Cost Kesef Shkolim, two Kesef, two Shkolim, right? $2, right? So if he certainly diverted Hegdish money, misused Hegdish money, he has to bring a regular Asham, Kesef Shkolim. Likewise, downstairs when we speak about the Asham Tavli, even though it's just a suffix, unconfirmed encounter, that Asham, likewise with the Asham Tavli, which according to Ravon is speaking about an unconfirmed suffix encounter with Chalev, not Hegdish material, and Asham Tavli's got a cost, the Asham Bekesef Shkolim. So in terms of value, that's what we connect the two parishes to each other. Now, Shlai Taima, what's the point? Why would I think that the Asham Tavli doesn't have that minimum, value requirement like a regular Asham? Because one can argue and say, after all, if it was actually confirmed that he ate a chalef, that would trigger a chatas, which can cost you a dime. So now that he's not sure, so this temporary stopgap, this temporary, so to speak, carbon, right? Asham Tavli, which is, Rashi said, there to protect you temporarily. How could that cost more than a chatas? So they tell me, you shouldn't argue and say, loy hei sveikei chomrim vadoi, how could the suffix obligation be more costly than the vadai chatas? Ma vadoi chatas bas danka, just like if he was confirmed to have sinned, he would bring a chatas, cost him a danka. A cheap coin, animal, likewise, if it's a suffix that he ate chalev, Asham Tavli can also cost you the minimum. No, says the Torah. Achatas, the Rabbi Yen explains, when you feel guilty, you know you did a mistake, you do tshuva. So you don't need such an expensive carbon to drive home the point. But when it's uncertain, it's up in the air, well, I did, I didn't do it, I probably didn't do it. The feelings of tshuva aren't really so, on the surface. So, Torah says, bring a bigger carbon. Make a statement. Express your sorriness for having encountered. Even a suffix is also something that requires teshuva. Why did Hashem, should be more careful, etc., right? Okay, so bottom line is, according to the Rabbanan, we have two formulas of connection. On the one hand, we connect the Hashem Tavli to the standard chatas procedure, to tell you that Asham Tavli only applies to a suffix chatas encounter, which means to say suffix that he ate chalev, which would typically generate chatas kares, intentional, unintentional, right? So if it's a suffix, it's an Asham Tavli. It doesn't apply to Me'ila, which runs a different system. We have another connection, connecting Asham Tavli to the previous parasha of Me'ila, with respect to establishing the minimum value, the cost value of this Asham Tavli. But it's not to say that Asham Tavli applies to Safek Mila. That's Rabbi Akiva's sheet. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, he also has a Gzera Shava and the Hekish. But according to him, the Gzera Shava from Asham Tavli to Chatas is limited to tell you that Asham Tavli only applies to kvua situations, experiences which generate fixed karbanis, like a chatas, but not to an tumas midash, ukadashav, which generates a fluctuating karban. At the same time, he says it applies to Me'ila as well, via this connection of Vav, connecting Asham Tavli to the previous parsha of Me'ila. Now, Rav Kiva Hasvara Minoli. Rav Akiva used this connection, the Vav, as we just explained, that Asham Tavli applies to Me'ila, which according to Rabbanan, the connection was for a value. Rav Akiva, how does he know the value requirement? He would have used the connection for the other halacha. Rav Akiva, how does he know this halacha? Nafkala, he learns it from a different pasuk, Mzeis Teres HaAsham. This is the general Asham system, it's one package. Torah, Achas, Kol HaShamos, to tell you all HaShamos run the same system, and it costs you kesef shkol. Teinach mandislei teiras. That works, you know, if you apply teiras in this fashion, to sort of put it in a, you know, one collective basket. Mandislei teiras, but according to the shita Menachos daf Gimel, who doesn't necessarily apply teiras in this way, so meicha gamar. So back to the question: how do we know how much the Ashram Tali is meant to cost you? Answer is gamar be'erkecha be'erkecha. Ashram Tali it says be'erkecha by a different type of Ashram, Ashram Gazela it says be'erkecha. And we learn from Ashram Me'ilois where it says be'erkecha kesef shkolim. So you know it's going to cost you $2. That works if you have the word be'erkecha in your you know carbon, but there's a carbon which doesn't have a type of asham which doesn't have the word be'erkecha. Asham shivcha charufa, that type of carbon which doesn't have the word be'erkecha. So how does he know it costs you two shkolim? What do you do there? Gama ba'ayil ba'ayil. Over there it says the word ba'ayil, and by the other one it says ba'ayil as well. So we connect, and we know that it's going to cost you two shkolim. Okay, so in summation, it's by the oilo where the Torah tells us tzafon is required, and we learn chatas from oilo. Chatas chitzonis, chatas apnimiyos. Now by oilo itself, how do we know that it applies to the ben bakar, just as the ben tzoin? We have the vav. So initially we thought that there's a shaila, a question whether we make this backwards connection with a vav. We conclude that all agree it's a valid method. So we say Ben Bakar, which is stated prior to Ben Tzoyin, connects down to Ben Tzoyin through the Vav, and Tzafon is required all around. But a machlokes, whether Asham Tali applies to Safek Me'ila, Rukiva says yes, we're going to say no, we have a Hekesh, Kzera Shava, as we just discussed. Okay, so Oilu we know requires Tzafon. What about a Chatos? Chatos learns from Oilu. Okay, so where's the Pasuk that makes that connection? Chatos Menolon. The boy itself, and how do we know Tzafon applies to Chatas? What the Chsib? We have a pasuk of Shechtas Chatas. Where does he shecht the Chatas? Makom Oil, same location as the Oil. Good. Ashkan Shchita, we've established Shchita of Chatas is in Tzafon. Kabbalah of Nolan. What about the Kabbalah of the Dam? The Chsib look at Hakoyim Dam Chatas, which is stated right after the Shchita, presumably same location. So the animal that's now whose blood is now being received is situated in suffering. Mekabel atzma minol. What about the kohen himself? Perhaps he can stand right across the line and lean over. How do we know he needs to be on the suffering side? Amakro v'lokach. V'lokach, the kohen does the kabbalah, and we sort of rearrange the words, the letters. Instead of v'lokach, we learn loikach. Lamed vav, and then kach. He's got to take himself and bring him over to himself over to the right location. So he's part of the process. He has to be standing with Tzafon as well. Ashkan la mitzvah. Okay, we established the requirement. La'akib minayin. What do we know about it being critical and essential? Right? Throughout Kochim, we always have this question. Unless we have a repetition to emphasize, it's required, but it's not essential. It's not critical. How do we know Tzafon is ma'akib? Amar kro. He says, amar kroach. We have actually another pasuk. Before we begin, just meant to know that actually, we'll find four places where the Torah discusses suffering by the Chatas. One is in a general sense. A Chatas is in the same place as the Oilam. Then we have another pasuk coming up in a second that the carbon Chatas of a Nasi, a Sawyer, a goat that a Nasi brings, a king, is done in suffering, the same place as the Oilam. Then we have another two pasukim regarding private carbon, private people bringing a carbon. We have the Kivsa, the goat, the sheep and the seerah, the goat, and those places as well. Torah says it's got to be the same place as the oil. So we have a total of four sources by chatas to tell you that it's required, it's critical, regardless of any type of chatas. You need the same tzafen as the oil. Okay, let's see. La'akiv minayin. How do we know that it's ma'akiv? Kerachim neksiv. We have another pasuk by the soyer nasi where it says v'shachat oisi makom ashishchad es oil. Shachat oisoi, same place as the oil. Tanya we learned in the brisa. Where is that? Heichan oil nishchata. Where do you do shchita on the oil of Tzafon? In the north of the Asar Afsa B'Tzafon. Likewise, Soyer Nasi is in Tzafon. So this is an actual pasuk to emphasize the Tzafon requirement and in fact that it's critical. V'chimikana talamid. Says the Gemara, really? Why? Right. So we didn't finish. Basically, we're gonna, you know, highlight that it's extra, and it's just coming to tell you that it's me'akev. V'chimikana talamid. Is this what you have to learn? You know, the tzofen concept. Well, like for now, we have the pasuk, a general pasuk, which seems to apply to all types of, you know, variations of chatas. The shechitas takes place in the same place as the other. So why does the Torah in fact single out the soyer of the nasi for tzafin to tell you to establish a set place? If you didn't do it, it's possible. So it's telling you that in fact it's essential. Asks the Gemara, hold it, it's not so simple. You think it's just a repetition to emphasize how important it is? You're telling me that it was highlighted for this reason, no, perhaps just the opposite. And it's actually coming to exclude, to limit. That often only applies to Soyer Nasi, but not to the other goat Karbanos Chatos, like the Soyer Yom Kippurim, Soyer Avodah Zarah, the ones on Yom Tov. Maybe the other goats are excluded. Only this one is in. Those are out from Tzafen. Tzafen doesn't apply to other goats. Tamalaymar. Comes another pasuk. And Rashi says this is by the goat, a private person's goat, Chatos. V'shachatas ha-chatas, v'mokem ma'ilah, do it with this ma'ilah is done. So now we covered all the goats. Zebana av l'chol chatoi tells you about all the types of karbanos chatas, including goats. Shiutun is tzafon. Tzafon is required. Okay, so now you know all goats are in. Now you know that the soyer nasi, which is sort of repeated, right, to tell you that it's mi'akev. Ashkan will establish soyer nasi. The soyer of the nasi is required and is important, is essential. Bein l'mitzvah, bein l'akev. Shachatos nami, likewise, all other korbanos chatas, including goats, instead of being out, we just included everything. Nami, ashkan, l'mitzvah, we know that it's required, but we only know that it's required, we don't know that it's mi'akev. We don't have a repetition yet, l'akev, but no, how do we know it's actually critical? Tachsev, we have another pasuk, get a fourth pasuk. Tachsev bekivsa. So a private person's korban chatas, if brought in a sheep fashion, Torah emphasizes tzafayim, same as the oila, chsev b'kivso, chsev b'tzira, says it by the kivso, says it by the, in addition to the tzira, as we just mentioned, to tell you that, in fact, tzafayim is essential all around. Okay, so now let's go back to that pasuk by the soyer nasi. V'shachat oisoy, shecht this one. Now, we've just clarified, tzafayim is all around. Any chatas, any variation. So why oisei, which is a limiting term, only this and nothing else? What are we trying to exclude? Elo oisei lamuli miboyle, it's needed for the following chadasanya. Bryce speaks about soyer nachshon, last week's parsha. Nachshon ben Aminadav, an older nasiim, brought special karbanos, including a karban chatas, which wasn't really addressing a sin. It was called a chatas, but it was part of the, you know, dedication process of the Mishkan. Oisoy betzafon ve'insur nachshon betzafon. A regular korban chatas that a nasi brings, right, for doing a chet, is processed in the tzafon, but not the one that nachshon brings. So that's why we need a miut oisoy to exclude sur nachshon. Rashi says sirei. It's coming to inaugurate the Mishkan, not coming to sin, to accommodate sin. Different system. Now, why would I think Soyer Nachshon requires suffering? The Sanya. V'samach yodeh al rosh ha-soyer. Pasuk says, Yidu smicha al rosh ha-soyer. Explains Rashi. It's an extra, you know, lengthy narration. It could have just said, V'samach al roisha, v'samach yod al roisha, v'al roisha soir. L'rabbis soir nachshon l'smich. Here it's coming to actually expand it and include soir nachshon that requires smicha as well. The Rebbe Yehuda. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, as we're going to see in a minute, since we sort of treat Sarin Akshen like a regular chatas to a certain extent, and it's smicha like any other chatas, I would think tzafen as well. That's why we need a pasuk v'shachat oisay. Only the regular chatas is in tzafay, but not Sarin Akshen. But in any case, I just finished the brayzer. I'm not coming to add smicha to Sarin Akshen, only to Sarin Rabbi Dezer. Okay, Sakat Dechamin, so perhaps I would think, Hoyle, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hoyle, since we Yisrabel the Smicha, since we covered Sarin Akshen, included him in the Smicha requirement, like any other Chatas, perhaps for Tzafayin as well, Yisrabel Namel, Tzafayin Kamashman, that's why we need a Pasuk by the Chatas, Shachat Oysoy, only this one is in Tzafayin, but not Sarin Akshen. Maskev L'Ravina. Okay, that works according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have your, you know, calculation. Hanich L'Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Shimon, who says that Sarin Akshen is out to begin with, so you wouldn't even think to include him. Michael Amema, why do we need a special exclusionary term? To be might, Amar Le Mariud, Mazur to Beder Tavi, the Ravina. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't understand. Rabbi Nami, Minich, according to Rabbi Yehuda as well. How do you understand this? Lamaidis Rabbi, with respect to Smicha, where we have a explicit application to include the Sarin Akshen is Rabbi, so he's covered for that. Well, my delay is Rabbi, lo is Rabbi, but to an item, a concept, where he was not included. So why would I think otherwise? Why would I think to include him? Why do I need a special limiting term, a miyu, to exclude him? Why would I think he's included? Perhaps I would think. I would just assume that he's included. Ilay me'ati krof, not for the special miyu to exclude him. How about I would think, teisei binyan av. That we connect him through a binyan av, right? Just by comparison, by connection, assuming that he has the same status. And Rashi actually says, because by smicha it says v'samach al reisha chatos, could have said al reisha chatos, coming to cover the. It's sort of a father example. It's a binyan av. It's a source for any chatos. That's what I would think. Slowly, one second. Let's just back up. Again, let's go back. Perhaps I would say, Eloi ma'atekro, if not for the special miut, to exclude Sa'ir Nachshon from Tzafon, have I been out thing? Tasted been enough. We'll just assume. So the Veshachat has a chatas. Any chatas is covered. Even Sa'ir Nachshon requires Tzafon. That's what I would think. Well, if it's been enough, can accomplish that. Im kein smicha gufo, tesi bininav. So why do we have to find a pasuk for applying smicha to Sarin Akshen? Just have a bininav. And this is Rashi. This is where Rashi makes his point that by smicha it says basamach al reisha chatos, instead of just saying al reisha, to tell you any chatos needs smicha. So why does Rabbi have to go look for a pasuk that smicha applies to Nachshon? Apparently, it doesn't work. You can't just assume things. You know why? Sa'ir Nachshon was a one-time phenomenon. It's called Shah. One-time event, one-time celebration. You can't learn from Dairis, from, long-term, standard karbanis. It's a different category, different type. Elo Shah midairis. Like, I mean, you can't learn Shah from Dairis regarding, smicha. Hachanam here as well regarding tzafayim. What right do we have to even suggest? I mean, Deiris Legamrim, you can't learn Nachshon from Deiris. It often applies to Deiris. Who says by Nachshon? So why do we need a special meal to be Mamayit Nach? Why would I think that he's included? You're right, says the Gemara. Let's backpedal. Velo Oisei B'Tzafon. Rather, the word Oisei is telling you Oisei B'Tzafon. In general, a korban needs to be in Tzafon while the Shechit is taking place. Vein Shechit B'Tzafon, but the Shechit himself, Rav Moshe Shechter, the one doing the shechit, doesn't have to be standing so. He can stand right across the line in Durin. So let's skip the Sarin Akshen situation. Standard halacha. Shechit of a carbon. Shechit could be in Durin and the carbon in Tzafon. Well, that we already know from elsewhere. Shechit, the fact that a shechit need not be in Tzafon, it would be chayin nafka. We learned that from elsewhere. The son of Chayo Aymer. V'shechat oisai v'erach mizvech tzafoyna. that the Korban Ola, Shachat Oisai, the animal itself was in Tzafon. Ma'atam Olim. What's the point of the word Oisai in this pasuk? To exclude the person. Fisham Matzino, because we find that in terms of Kabbalas Hadam, which is already the next step, and it's considered bona fide service, bona fide avoida, there the Kohen actually has to be situated in the right location as well. He has to be standing in Tzafon. He can't stand on the other side of the line. Oymed b'Tzafon, m'kabal b'Tzafon. He must be standing in Tzafon and doing the Kabbalah in Tzafon. V'mamed b'darim v'kibul b'Tzafon, possible. If he's standing across the line and doing the Kabbalah in Tzafon, it's possible. Yochel, perhaps, afzakein, the same would apply to a sheikhet. Tamar leima oisa, the pasuk says oisa, only the animal, the korban oisa b'tzafon, v'ena sheikhet b'tzafon, but the sheikhet need not be standing in Tzafon. Okay, there's a source. We don't need another source for that. So back to the question. But it's soyer nasi, it says v'shachat oisa, what's the word oisa coming to teach? Ella rather as follows, oisa b'tzafon, v'en min of b'tzafon. Only an animal korban must be shechted in Tzafon, but a bird korban, there, the malika, the one they remove the head with the fingernail, with the nail, the thumbnail, of the coin, that need not be, doesn't have to take place in Tzafon. That's the point of oisa. Besani, as we have a braisa. Yochel, perhaps, yehi benoif toh in Tzafon. Even a bird animal has to be done in Tzafon. Vidinu. You would assume so. Why? Based on a kal v'chaymer from an animal carbon. Ma ben soin, shlikov alekoin. Since even an animal carbon, whose shchita does not require a kohen, even Israel can do shchita on an animal carbon. So despite that leniency, kavalei tzafoin, the terrorist established and required tzafoin for shchita, certainly a bird animal, a bird carbon which needs a kohen for malika, benayv shekavalei kohen, wouldn't you think has to take place in tzafoin? And then certainly, shekavalei tzafoin, tamalayma oisai, comes the word oisai and says the only animal is not birds. Well, why would I even think to connect a bird to an animal? Mala ben tzayin shekein kavalei kli. Yeah, an animal carbon is in fact more strict than a bird carbon. It needs a kli on two accounts. Shechita must have a knife as opposed to a fingernail, and the kabbalah must be done in a kli as opposed to by a bird. We don't need a kli for a kabbalah, so you just spray the blood directly. So I wouldn't even suggest that a bird needs suffering. In which case, I don't need a miut. So back to the question, what's the miut for? Elo oisai b'tzafin and pesach b'tzafin. The miut is coming to exclude a carbon pesach. To suspend the din tzafin from a carbon pesach. Despite it being an animal carbon, it doesn't need to be b'tzafin. Sanya. Rezim nekevayim. Yochel. Hey, pesach ton tzafin, perhaps. The tzafin location applies to a carbon pesach as well. The shechita of the carbon pesach has to be in the tzafin of the azara. Why would I think so? V'dinu, based on a kal v'chaymer from an oila. A carbon oila, which doesn't even have a set time. You can bring it any time throughout the year, during daytime, right? There's no special, Still, kavalei tzafon. Tzafon is required by the oila. Wouldn't you think a Pesach, certainly, shekavalei zman shkitasa, has a very specific set time, only out of Pesach, in the afternoon. So it has higher, requirements. And then, wouldn't you think, shekavalei tzafon, that tzafon is a requirement? Tamar leimar, comes to Pesach and says, oisai. Only him, only the chatas, only the oila, not the Karim Pesach. Well, why would I even think? Mal oila shekein kol, how could it compare Pesach to an oila? You know why an oila needs tzafon? Because he has kol, he's fully consumed on his back, which a Pesach doesn't even have. I wouldn't even compare the two. Okay, me chatas, I would compare the Karim Pesach to a chatas. Malach chatas shekein mechaperes, no, chatas has an advantage. It atones for a sin, which a Pesach doesn't have. So why would I even think to include the Pesach and tzafon? Shkem chaperes al chayve krisus, it covers curries sins. Okay, I would compare a Pesach to an asham, me asham. Just as tafen applies there, applies here. No, I can't compare. Malo asham shekem kachay kachim. Asham belongs to the higher tier, karbonis, kachay kachim. Pesach is lower tier. Mikula nami. And suppose I would sort of use a common denominator type of formula. Just like all these karbonis requires tafen, Pesach as well. No, they have something in common that the Pesach doesn't have. They're all kachim. So why would I even compare? Why would I even think to compare? So back to the question again. Pasuk by the Karvan Chatas of a Nasi says V'shachat Oisai. What's the word Oisai coming to exclude? Lo'ilom k'dabar mikara. The answer is, as we said earlier, to tell you that in general, only the animal needs to be situated in Safed, but not the one doing the Shechita. He can be standing right across the line. Oisai b'tzafin v'in sheichet b'tzafin. Now, as to your question, we already know that from a different pasuk, from Rav Achi's pasuk. The kashi regarding your question, the Rav Chaya Nafka, he writes as the Gemara. Rather, they're coming to teach you the plain basic point that the sheikhet could be standing across the line. That's unnecessary. We already know that. Lav l'muti sheikhet b'tzafin. Ella, rather, is coming to tell you like this. Three steps. The animal has to be in tzafin. The sheikhet doesn't. But for that, we don't need a pasuk. We already know that. The point is for the next level. A sheikhet need not be standing in tzafin. But a mekabel, the kohen doing the kabbalah, he needs to be standing in tzafin. So it's sort of a three-step drasha. But the goal is to clarify that a mekabel must be standing b'tzafin. Ella, rather, it's as follows. Ein sheikhet b'tzafin. The sheikhet need not stand in tzafin. Aval mekabel b'tzafin. That's the point of the drasha. Well, we already have a pasuk for that too. Remember, we had the pasuk on Amad Aleph, on the bottom of Lokach, right? Loikach. Mekabel. To obligate the mekabel to stand in tzafin. Melokach. Right? Loikach. It's from there. Loikach lemashmali. This shita, this opinion, didn't learn the word, you know, v'lokach that way. And therefore he required the special pasuk to obligate the makabel to stand in Safin. Okay, so again, we have a pasuk by the Oila, by the Ben Soin, and by extension to the Ben Bokar as well. We have four psukim by Chatois to tell you all types of carbon chatas need to be done with Safin, and it's Miyakev. The animal has to be in Safin during Shechita, the Shechita does not. By Kabbalah, both the animal and the Kohen. We have two sources for that. Okay, now we know it's required. What about the fact that it's me'akif? Ashkron, we have established shchita b'oil l'mitzvah, that it's a mitzvah to shech the oil on the north. Kabbalah namah l'mitzvah, a pasuk by Kabbalah as well, that it's a mitzvah. What about that it's me'akif? Ashkron shchita. The Kabbalah. So again, Ashkan Shchita b'Oila mitzvah. We know that is a mitzvah to do Shchita of the Oila b'tzaf. The Kabbalah, Nami, oh, Kabbalah Nami Litzah Ashkan. Right? And we've established that there's a mitzvah to do the Kabbalah in Safin as well, as we learned back in Amud Aleph, right? Because it says the Lokach, which is presumably the same place as the Shchita. Fine. Questions about whether it's critical, whether it's miyakev. Shchita v'kabbalah l'akev minu. How do we know shchita and kabbalah by the oilo is miyakev? That tzafin is miyakev minu. How do we know that? Amar v'adav r'av v'itema. Rav Rashil. We know that by the chatos it's miyakev. Because of the four psukim, as we discussed earlier. Now the chatos is really is a derivation of the oila, right? Because the oila is really where it says it. That's the source material. Chata is just sort of drawing from the oila. Now, wouldn't you think that if we have a pasuk that it's mi'akev by the chata, certainly it should be mi'akev by the oila, who's the father figure, so to speak. Kal v'chaim u'ma'chata sabo mikoich oila. Even a chata who's coming from the oila, mi'akeves. So we know tzafan by the chata is critical. Wouldn't you think, certainly by the oil himself, oila sheba chatas mikach de oila, who the chatas is coming from? Eino din. Wouldn't you think shemakev is that it's miakev by the oil as well? Hold it. Who says malach chatas shkemechaperes? Perhaps no. Chatas stands higher. atones for severe sins. Maybe that's why it requires Amar Avina Hakashi. Let me explain to Rav Rava's question. It wasn't like he was based on a Kal Vachomer, which can be refuted. No, it's simple logic. It can't be otherwise. Klum Matzina, do we ever find a phenomenon such as this? That a Tafel, that a second generation, should be Chomer min Iko, should be more strict than the primary? If the Chattis is Mi'akiv, certainly the Oil. Omli Marzut, Bredi Rav Mordechai Ravina, no? I'll show you an example. That a secondary can be more strict than the primary. Veloy, no, bar a master. Master Shane, here's a good example. Master Shane allows for redemption. You have Master Shane fruit, you can't bring it to Yerushalayim, you redeem it, transfer of Dusha and money. And Rashi explains, even if you're in Yerushalayim and it becomes tummy, you can't eat it, you redeem it. Bar a master. So the original master material that grew off your farm, to nifta, you can redeem it. Vilu, however, lo kuach b'kesef master in a nifta. Suppose he had master of Shani money. He bought food material. Now this food material is second generation, so to speak. Food material went sour. You have to go redeem it now. You can't do it. This is not as we learn in the Mishnah. Halukoh b'kesef master. Food purchased with master money. Shnitma, which becomes tummy. You probably can redeem it. We don't even know. We just says you come. You got to bury. You can't do anything. It's stuck. You can't do pinyan. Apparently, says Rashi, Tafel Chomer Min HaIkar. The second generation, the item that bought with Master Shani money is more strict and more severe than the original, which allows for pidyon. No, said the Gemara, that's not because it's more strict and more severe. It's the opposite. Because the Kedusha in this second generation material has been weakened, has been downgraded, and doesn't allow for transfer and redemption. It's the opposite. Hasam, there lay Alima Kedusha, say its holiness is not strong enough, limit to its pidyon to latch on to its redemption. Basically, it cannot be; it's not transferable because of its weakness. It's the opposite. Well, so I'll bring you another example. Ari Tmura. Tmura is a fellow who has a carbon, takes a regular animal, and says, "I want the kedusha of the carbon to be transferred, to be exchanged, to be extended." However, the halacha is that initially, you cannot take a severely blemished animal and turn it into a carbon. If you do so, it doesn't acquire kedushas haguf, inherent kedusha. It's not suitable for mizbeach. Rather, it becomes kedushas damim. It becomes monetarily kadosh, like any other hegdish possession. That only applies regarding initial kedusha. But if you were to do the tmura process using even a blemished animal, I want this blemished animal to receive kedusha from that carbon. It works. Pasuk says even Ra B'toiv, use a bad, deficient animal. So Tmura works where original Hegdash doesn't work. Apparently a copy can be stronger than the original. Hari Tmura, Dilu Kachem, Loi Chayli Albamun Kavua. The initial Hegdash process, you can't initiate Hegdash on a Balmum Kavua, on a permanently blemished animal. Vilu I Chayla. But Tmura can work in this circumstance. So once you have the carbon oila standing here, you bring along a severely blemished animal, you can make Tmura. You can extend the Kedusha onto the blemished animal. So you see that Tafel is more chamer than Iko, secondary is more powerful than the initial primary. Well, so the Gemara, just the opposite. Once again, Tmura meikayach kachem ka'asi, just the opposite. The reason why the Tmura works is because you already have an established active carbon. You're just sort of expanding it. So once it's sort of been activated, you can just expand it even to a blemished animal. And exactly right, the initial Kedusha, which is sort of starting from scratch, you're taking chulin and turning it into a carbon. You're trying to activate a new carbon. You can't do that if it's severely blemished. So if anything, it's just the opposite. It's proving our point. That it's all about what the source is, right? If you're coming from nothing to zero to one, it's harder than taking something which was already an existing Kedusha and just expanding it. So it's all about what the source is. So back to our story. I wouldn't even entertain a thought to say that if Chatas, who learns from the Eila, his suffering is so critical, certainly the you can't say that the Eila would be less than that, because the Eila is really the source material for the Chatas. So that's the more, okay, one more question. Hari Pesach. I'll bring you a raya from a carbon Pesach. Dehu ein etoin smicha nusachem. So we know that a carbon Pesach doesn't require smicha unusachem. You don't lean on the animal when you bring it. You don't bring the sachem. You don't wave the chazav eshoik. But when you have a leftover carbon Pesach, an unneeded carbon Pesach, let's say you set aside an extra carbon as a backup, and then he doesn't need it anymore. What happens after Pesach? It's an extra carbon. Halacha is it turns into a shlamim. You treat it as a shlam. That's the halacha. Here's a case where the original carbon Pesach did not require the smicha and all those activities, and all those components. Vilu Moshe of the day, but the leftover carbon Pesach after Pesach, unneeded carbon Pesach, ton, is now considered a full-fledged shlamim, and seemingly has higher standards. Ton smicha unusach v'mshalz v'shoyk. How do you explain that? Answers the Gemara: no. This is not a new thing. He was really there all along. The original carbon Pesach already had potential for shlamim application as well. So it's not like it's a leftover carbon Pesach. What do you do with it? You turn it to a shlam, which in a way upgrades it. No, initially, that's the way the Torah established the carbon Pesach system. An unneeded carbon Pesach is already now considered a shlam. So it had that potential from the get-go. Pesach b'shayim es hashana shlamehu. An unneeded Pesach throughout the year is a shlamim, says Rashi. It's not like, the leftover Pesach is such and such. So that would substantiate your question. It's not a tuffel, it's not a secondary to a Pesach, it's original. It's a standalone korban shlamim. But certainly when something is derived, it can't be stronger than the original. Another terrorist to your question. The original question, how do we know that the tzafen factor is critical by the oila? So instead of going through this back and forth, inferring from the chatas, the pasuk says, ha oila. It says, v'shachat es hachatz mokim ha oila. The extra hey of the ha oila b'mkoyim atei is telling you that location is in fact critical. So this is a repetition for emphasis to tell you that the mokim tzafen of the oila is in fact mi'akiv. Okay, so bottom line, we know that tzafen is required and critical by the oila. We have two limudim for that. By the chatas, we have repetitions as well. It applies to the shechita. Only the animal has to be in tzafen, but the sheichet can be in dar. We have by the kabbalah as well. Both the animal and the makabal have to be betzafen. We learned that by the ben oif, by a bird, you don't need the tzafen. Likewise, by the Pesach. Okay, that pretty much sums up today's daf. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabba.